All right, let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Genesis 11 and read the story of the city of Babel and the Tower of Babel. And then I want to point out some things tonight on this subject, the sin of rebellion. The sin of rebellion. All right, let's begin in verse 1. The Bible here says that the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Now, this was just a couple of hundred years, maybe 200, 250, something like that, after Noah got off the ark. All right, so this, what we're reading here, happened a long time ago. All right, long time ago, about 4,000 years ago. And this was when God destroyed everybody on the planet except for Noah, Mrs. Noah, their three sons, and the wives of those three sons. So when they got off the boat, they were it. All right, now think about that. They got off the boat, they were it. Everyone else had drowned. And so this 10th chapter tells us about how this city and how these people grew and multiplied and became many. All right, so you had the three sons of Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And when they got off the ark, they all were in one place, one section. They came off of Mount Ararat and down into the valleys where it was warm and where it was fertile, and there they set up their homes and started their lives. All right, so when you get to chapter 11, you will see that the whole earth, so all the people, that's what that means, all the people that were on the earth at that time, they all spoke one language and were all of one speech. Now, wouldn't that be convenient today if everybody spoke English? I don't want to speak Russian. I don't want to speak Chinese. I want to speak English. I want everybody else to speak English. But anyway, verse 2. Did our birds move? They sound like they're coming from over here now. Am I having auditory hallucinations or did... They were over here this morning? I guess they can hear better on this side. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, that's what it is. All right, let's get serious here. They were all of one language, yes. Yes. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another. Now watch this carefully. They said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." Now why? Well, so they would be hardened, so they would last. All right, so let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. and let us make us a name. Do you see all these personal pronouns here? Let us make us a name. Now, shouldn't they have been making God a name? I mean, it hadn't been that long since God's great judgment upon men's rebellion with the flood. But boy, how soon we forget. And so they said, let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them. In other words, if they do this, they're just going to go over the edge. All right, there'll be no dragging them back. There'll be no getting them back. The rebellion that will be in their hearts if they do this will be, it'll make them irretrievable. All right, so nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. So God says, go to, let us go down. All right, now who's us? Well, that's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This is a conversation between the Godhead. All right, so let us go down and there confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord comes down and confuses everybody because they're all now speaking different language. And some guy asked for a brick, and the other guy throws a bottle of water his way. Well, that's not going to work, is it, when you're in construction? And so they got all kinds of problems here. They don't understand one another, and you can imagine the confusion that this would have brought. And so in verse 8 it says, so the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the languages of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. All right, well, I'll stop reading right there. And verse 9 is what I am going to use as the text verse tonight. And I want to speak to you from these verses and focus on the sin of rebellion. You know, God hates rebellion. You know why God hates rebellion so much? Because that's what the devil did in heaven. That's why he had to be booted out of heaven, and why God sent him to fall to this earth. Because he rebelled against God's authority in heaven. And God hates rebellion, and he's hated it ever since. And I want us to look at this sin of rebellion tonight. All right, let's pray, and then the message. Father, I pray you will help me tonight as I speak, and I pray that you will help our folks tonight as they listen. We are just so thankful for the Bible. We're thankful that the Bible has the answers. Whatever the question may be, the answer is in the Word of God. And so I pray you'll help us to see why things are like they are tonight. I pray that you will help us to be able to take this story of what happened almost 4,000 years ago, and tell that story so that it will expose the hearts of men today. For Father, it makes no difference whether it's 4,000 years ago or whether it's happened this morning. Men's hearts are the same. And so help us, Father, to be able to identify and see the rebellion. And Father, I pray that we'll be able then to deal with it, and that you'll be honored and glorified in our lives. And Father, we'll not have to go around ashamed because of our rebellion against you. So bless now, we ask in Jesus' name, and amen. You might remember that Samuel told King Saul that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, that is not a glowing thing. That witchcraft in the Old Testament was looked at with disdain. I mean, witchcraft was the ultimate rebellion against God. And so under the law of Moses, God said that the witches were to be taken outside of the camp, and they were to be stoned to death. All right, there was no mercy. They were to be stoned to death. Now, of course, as time prevailed, they did not do what God said in the law, and the end result was when they tolerated this stuff, they just got further and further away from God. Now, what I want to drive home tonight is a simple little truth that I hope will stick, especially in the hearts of every one of our young people. But I want to drive home tonight this little principle that one cannot rebel against the Lord without facing some very serious consequences. Now, they didn't get away with it here, and I'm telling you, you can't get away with it today. The devil didn't get away with it when he was in heaven, and we're not going to get away with it today. What is recorded here in this chapter is the building of the city and of the Tower of Babel. We all learn in Sunday school when we're just little kids. We learned about the Tower of Babel and how they attempted to build on that plain. They attempted to build a structure that would take them up to heaven. And why did they want to do that? Well, they wanted to topple God. Now, we now know that it would have been impossible for them to do that. You get up so high, you can't breathe. There's no air up there. And so without a doubt, it was a foolish idea. But a rebellious heart usually does lead you to foolish ideas. And so what is recorded here is a massive effort on the part of these people to rebel against God in an organized fashion. Hearts that are in rebellion to God are usually in rebellion to God against the known will of God. They don't want to stay in the will of God. They don't want to operate in the will of God. And so they step outside of God's will, and the next thing you know, they have this rebellious heart. Now, if you go back and look at verse 4, you will see that these people were literally consumed with themselves. That they were all they could think about. All right? They just were consumed with themselves. And God wanted them to do certain things They said, no, we're not going to do what God wants us to do. We're going to do things our way. And so they rebelled against the Lord. God had told Noah when he got off the ark that men were to be fruitful and multiply. Just look back for a moment at chapter 9 and verse 1. Just go back a page or so. And in verse 1, when Noah got off the ark, God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. You see, all of mankind had died. You say, well, how many people were on the earth? Probably as many as or more than what's on the earth right now. Yeah. Probably so. In a 2,000-year span from Adam to Noah, without abortion, without murder, without murdering babies, there would have been an awful lot of more people probably on the planet than what are on the planet today. And so in verse 4, what was God saying to them in chapter 11, verse 4, God was saying, I want you to go and replenish the earth. I want you to multiply. What's that mean? That means have children, reproduce yourselves. And they did not want to do that. They did not want to obey the word of the Lord. They wanted to stay together and bind themselves together and not trust in the Lord, but to simply trust in their own strength and in their own organization. So again, notice in verse 4, everything was about them. Everything. Let us build us and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered. Now, right there is their rebellion. That little phrase, lest we be scattered. They did not want to do what God wanted. It was all simply about them. Folks, they should have wanted to make God a name, not themselves. They should have wanted to live and be obedient to the will of God for their lives. And what was God's will? It was that they multiply and replenish the earth. It's just, it's spelled out in chapter 9 and verse 1. But what they did is they blatantly and defiantly rebelled against God. So the Lord had a discussion among the Godhead and decided to come down and put an end to this rebellion. The Lord said, let us go down. Now, who is the us? Well, that's the Godhead. That's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I really don't like to use the word Trinity. You say, well, why not? Because it's not in the Bible. So I like to use the word Godhead, because that word is in the Bible describing the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so God stepped in, and when he came down and saw their rebellious hearts, and he moved to stop it. All right, now let's notice a couple of things about this rebellion. Go back to the 9th verse for just a moment, and let's read the verse again. And then I want to give you the outline for the sermon from that 9th verse. It says, therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. All right, now let's notice a couple things. First of all, Look carefully at verse 9. And I want us to look at the label that God gives their rebellion. The label that God gives their rebellion. You see, we are told in the front part of this verse, the name of it is called Babel. God gave it that name. God called it Babel. And by the way, when the Bible was written, the name of it was Babel. Now, I don't know what they intended to call it, but I will guarantee you it was not Babel. You say, well, how do you know that? Because Babel is a word that means confusion. Where do you live? In the city of confusion. Where do you live? In the land of confusion. See, they wouldn't have named it confusion. All right, I've never understood why. I guess it's because there was a man named Boring somewhere. But I've driven down there a couple of times for visits, and there's a Boring Methodist Church down there. Mercy. Huh? That's amazing, isn't it? So, what did God call this place? He called it Babel, which means confusion, and it became known as Babel from that point on all the way till today. It is still called, today it's called the ruins of Babel. So it's still called Babel today, confusion today. Now, folks, this is very fitting for any kind of rebellion. This name is a very fitting name for any part of rebellion, any kind of rebellion. Now, think about this. Men will always come up with names for their rebellion that sound much softer than what their rebellion actually is. Now, let me give you a for instance. They will say that they believe in social drinking. All right, now, God calls it being a drunkard. All right? God calls it drunkard. All right? Sodomy. They call it gay. Seriously? There's nothing gay about it. All right? There's nothing gay about it. They're miserable. They're miserable. Many of them take their own lives because of the depth of their depravity that it leads them to. You know that's so. But they call it gay. Here's another one. The gambling stuff that we have here in Maryland, which is just doing wonders for our roads and education system, isn't it? Wonders. I mean, it's just amazing how much of that is being poured back into our children. You know, it's all for the children. And so what do they call it? Here's what they say. Maryland Lottery, let yourself play. Play. You see, you're just playing a game. Playing games is fun. Everybody likes to play games. Yeah. You ever notice that many times right after the commercials where they're encouraging you to go gamble or to go over here to Wawa and block the line behind you for 20 minutes buying lottery tickets, Wouldn't you like to drop kick some of those people out of your way? Be honest. Get out of the way. But here's the thing, folks. You're just playing a game. That's what they want you to think. You're just playing a game. Everybody likes to play games. But you see, when God calls something by a name, that is what it becomes called from that point on. When God attaches a name to something, it sticks. And what did God call, what did God label this rebellion against him? He called it Babel. Now let me remind you folks that they all spoke the same language. They all spoke the same language. But it was their rebellion that brought about their problem. It was their own rebellion. Folks, that is exactly what happens when people rebel against God. When you rebel against the Lord, you become confused. That's what Babel means. It means confusion. And when we rebel against what is the will of God for our lives, what happens is confusion sets in. You remember the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 8. And James said that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Exactly. Exactly. And that is the problem with so many people today. We have a spiritual mind when we come to church on Sunday, but then Monday through Saturday, we're out in the world and we are feeding our minds with the world. And what happens? Confusion sets in. Confusion sets in. Young people, listen to me. If you're confused about the will of God for your life or other important spiritual matters, just maybe your confusion is a result of your rebellion towards the will of God for your life. Man, I remember when God started dealing with me, the last thing I wanted to do was pastor a church. The last thing. I did not want to do it. I said, Lord, they'll laugh at me and they'll laugh at you. They'll laugh at both of us. They'll laugh at me for saying you called me, and they'll laugh at you for calling me. So I can't win on this. I'm not going to do it. And boy, the Lord started wearing me out. I mean, wearing me out. Over a couple of month period, the Lord literally wore me out. And so at camp, that last night in the final service, John Reynolds was preaching at the camp, Camp Joy in Spencer, West Virginia. And I sat there and I listened and I could feel the Lord tugging at my heart. And I kept saying, no, go away, go away, go away. Don't do that. Leave me alone. But he wouldn't go away. And I surrendered my heart to do what the Lord has wanted me to do. And now, here I am all these years later with the blessed privilege of pastoring the greatest church in America. What an amazing God we serve. Amen. Folks, don't rebel. Young people, don't rebel. I mean, you just stop and think about how many of our workers, how many of our deacons and Sunday school teachers and bus drivers and bus workers and soul winners in the last couple of years have graduated onto heaven. Who's going to take their spot? Who's going to take their spot? You see, folks, don't rebel against what God is wanting you to do. Just maybe your confusion is a result of your rebellion against the will of God. So what was God's will for these folks? Well, God's will for them was to replenish the earth, but they wanted to stay in and around the area where they settled. They had strength in numbers. They had the river there, the Tigris, wonderful, rich soil to grow their crops, and they certainly had a tremendous setup in what is today the nation of Iraq. They then strengthened their rebellion against the Lord by their attempt to build the city and the tower. Now you might ask, well, Pastor, why in the world would they want to build a city and a tower to the heavens? Well, don't forget, in verse 4, they wanted to do it to make themselves a name. They wanted to have everything fear them. They wanted to be on top. And the second reason was to keep them from having to scatter across the face of the earth. Now, folks, understand that this thought, make us a name, is nothing more than their pride coming out of them. It was their pride that was saying all these things. You see, proud people, they don't humbly submit themselves to the will of God. Pride is usually the root cause for any rebellion. It really is. And to be sure, God has a will for my life. God has a will for your life. And I'm just trying to get you to see tonight, don't rebel against what is the will of God for your life. That is why these folks endured this judgment and this wrath from God, because they did not obey what was the will of God. So don't rebel against God's will for your life. But notice that these people's rebellion got them a name, all right. Yeah, it did. It got them a name. Oh, I don't think it was the name that they wanted it to be. Do you? I don't think that they were sitting around the campfire one evening and said, you know, I sure do hope we get a name called Confusion. I hope we're known throughout the annals of history as a bunch of confused people. No, I doubt they said that. Instead, they got a name that was not one that elevated their pride in themselves. The name that they were given was Babel. And don't forget, Babel means confusion. Folks, listen, it would be a sad state of affairs to realize that you tried to outwit God, and then God turned right around and outwitted you. And that's what Paul said. You're not going to mock God. And that Greek word there, I'm told, is the word outwitted. You're not going to outwit God. It's just that simple. So there's no need to really even try. You know, after presidents leave office, they build a library and they go to great expense. I mean, they spare nothing to try to, watch me now, make themselves a name. That's what it's all about. They want to make themselves a name. All right? You will hear the media speak about them. And what do they say? Well, he wants to preserve his legacy. Preserve his legacy. Now, do you think that any of those presidents who have a library, do you think that any of them are going to put anything in that library that for the public to see that does not shine a favorable light upon his presidency or his person? Well, of course they're not. Of course they're not. Here's my point, folks. If you want a name, follow God's will. Do what God wants you to do. And God will see to it that everyone knows your name. God will see to it. Find God's will. Follow God's will. You will be 10,000 times more profitable in your life and more fruitful in your life by doing the will of God than in doing your own will. If you want a name, a reputation, then don't rebel against the will of God for your life. You know, today we still refer to the ruins of this city and tower as the ruins of Babel. We still refer to it as that. The name has never changed. That's something, isn't it? Second thing I want you to see, I want us to look, secondly, at the languages of rebellion. I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but look at verse 9. It says there in this verse that the Lord did there confound the language of the earth. You see, the Bible says that right here is where the different languages that we have on our planet today, that right here is where those languages came from. The amazing thing to me is that the secular world even says that the diversity of languages, as best they can distinguish, can and is traced to this time in human history. So both the secular world and, of course, the Bible both say the same thing. However, the secular world does not report why we have so many different languages today. But the Bible does tell us that information. You see, the reason that we have so many different languages on the planet today is because of one thing, and that's judgment against rebellion. All right, now I'm going to make a statement here, and I want you to listen to it and try to remember it if you can. But listen, it was the guile of men. G-U-I-L-E, the guile. It was the guile of men, not the genius of men, that resulted in the multitude of different languages that are spoken on this planet. It was the guile, not the genius. All right, we look back through history and we say, wow, those Russians, you know, they've got this alphabet and that alphabet, and boy, their language and blah, blah, blah. And then we say, oh, the Chinese, man, there are thousands of characters in the language, and it's all a picture language, and boy, somebody must have really been smart to figure out all that. No, it was the guile of men, not the genius of men, that ended up with us having all of these languages. I hope you understand that. I hope you get that. It was judgment that brought about the languages. It was man's rebellion against the will of God that brought this harsh judgment upon mankind. You see, folks, before this event, don't forget, we are told in verse 1 that the whole world was of one language. Wouldn't it just be so much easier if we all spoke the same language in every country on the planet? I mean, I should think that if every person on the planet spoke the exact same language, it would just make everything a whole lot easier upon everyone. I would think it would anyway. But we know from experience that rebellion and sin never makes things easier, does it? It only complicates things. So the rebellion of man against the commandments of God is the cause for all the different languages in the world today. Someone said, the only thing that we ever learn from history is that we never learn anything from history. And you know that's true, don't you? Isn't that amazing? But that's true. That statement has proven itself true over and over and over again. The curse of sin is real, folks. Sin always faces the wrath and the judgment of God Almighty. That's what the flood was all about. God said, I can't take this sin any longer. I can't take this rebellion any longer. And God called Noah, build an ark, Noah. He said, why? I'm going to destroy the earth. Why? Well, because of this wickedness. Because of this sin. There is nothing that they won't do. It kind of sounds like today, doesn't it? And so the wrath and judgment came. And now here they are just a few decades later, and they haven't learned a thing, have they? I mean, our world has always seemed to just ignore the fact that God judges sin. We'll think, oh, well, the Lord judges your sin, but he's not going to judge mine. Oh, yes, he is. It doesn't matter who you are. God judges sin, and he judges it harshly. I just cannot imagine that we will not soon see God's wrath and judgment upon our rebellious world today. I can't see it lasting much longer. If we don't have a genuine Holy Ghost revival in this country, God's not going to have a choice but to pour out his wrath upon this world. Men continue to stick their heads in the sand of ignorance and would rather completely ignore all the signs of God's impending judgment. They would rather do that than listen to what God has to say. And then the last thing, I want you to look thirdly at the lodging of their rebellion. We're told in verse 9 that God accomplished what he intended them to do. The Lord scattered them abroad upon the face of the earth. You know, sometimes when you won't do what the Lord wants you to do, and that wrath and that judgment comes. Now, I've been a pastor a long time. A long time. Do you know how many times in the years that I've been the pastor that I have seen folks come running back to church after God got his flash water out and started wearing them out with it? Did your mama ever wear you out with the flash water? Anybody? Yeah, a few of you did. My mom said, go cut me a switch. No. So she'd go out and rip up a tree and just proceed to beat me half to death with it. So I learned, go get her a switch. So I'd find one dead on the ground and I would carry it in. Here you go. That didn't work either. But that's where we are, folks. That's where we are. The Lord did scatter them upon the face of the earth. They wouldn't scatter themselves, so God scattered them. And if we won't do what God wants us to do, sometimes the Lord has to light a little fire underneath us. And I'm certainly not going to say that the Lord does this every single time that someone rebels against him. I mean, we are told in the book of Romans that God gave them up, and then God gave them up, and then they just continued to rebel. And then it says, and then God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And I think we got a lot of reprobate minds running around today. A lot of them. So I'm not saying God does it every single time, but I'm telling you, folks, when we rebel against him and against what is the will of God for our lives, and when we just settle in and do our own will instead of God's will, well, sometimes the Lord has to deal with us, and he has to nudge us, shove us a little bit. And if we don't listen, then sometimes the Lord just has to bulldoze you. If that's what it takes to get your attention, God will get your attention. And you know, if that doesn't work, you see, there is a sin unto death. Think about that one. There is a sin unto death. So if that doesn't work, it just may be that God has to step in and do something drastic. Several years ago, I was on, when we lived in Joliet, it was the sword board meeting time, and Dr. Hiles, he pastored over on the other side of Chicago and at the end of Lake Michigan there in Indiana. And so he called my office and he said, are you going to the SWORD board meeting? And I said, yes, sir, I am going. And he said, okay, I'll get our tickets and we can sit together on the airplane. And I said, okay, that sounds fine. And so that day came and we met at Midway Airport, and we sat around for a little while just talking, and while we were talking, I don't know how the conversation ended up where it ended up, but we were talking about all the things that can happen to you when you're in the ministry. And I didn't have a whole lot of things to say in that area, a couple of things. I told him about the night we were having the revival meeting, and this fella that we had been praying for on the back row had gotten saved earlier in the week, and on Friday night we were going to baptize him. So his family all came out to the meeting to watch Jack get baptized. And so when the invitation was given, all of a sudden Jack started forward. And when he started forward, one of his relatives, I don't know if it was a sister or it was a woman, I do remember that, but she jumped out in the aisle and just went nuts. And we had a church full of people. We were singing the invitation hymn. And when she started, everybody just sort of quit singing. And everybody turned around to look at her. Now, I'd never had that experience before. And I thought, well, what do I do here? And so what I decided to do was listen real carefully. And I figured that as long as she spoke English, everything was okay. But as soon as I thought that, she started speaking, well, I don't know what it was, gibberish. And nobody else knew what it was either, because nobody raised their hand and said, I have an interpretation for that. But she got out in the aisle and she was just, you know, her eyes rolled back in her head and she was shouting and spinning around in circles and all this. And then she started speaking Swahili or something. I don't know what it was. And when she did, I mean, my church is sitting there, you know? And I didn't know what to do, so here's what I did. I said, hey, you back there, hey. And she looked up, kind of like she snapped out of her trance. And I said, if you're going to speak in this church, do it in English. That's the only language we know. And so right back in the pew she went. That was it. Got nothing added. Well, it killed the service. Just absolutely decimated the service. But Jack got saved. And we baptized him the next Friday night. I'm telling you, folks, it's absolutely amazing the things that can happen to you in the ministry. And so Dr. Hiles looked at me and he said, well, let me tell you what happened to me just a couple months ago. Now, he had, at that time, the largest church in the world. And I thought, ooh, this is going to be a doozy. And sure enough, it was. And he talked about a young man who came to the Bible college there that they had, Hiles Anderson College, to study for the ministry. And he ended up getting a job his senior year. And this job was at one of the steel factories, the mills there. And it was a good paying job. And so he decided that that with this great job, he and his new wife were going to go ahead and buy a house and start a family. And so as the senior year went on, he was called into the dean's office one day, and he was given a slip of paper from a pulpit committee that wanted to speak with him and interview him to come and be their pastor. And he said, well, I don't think I'm going to do that. And the dean said, well, I thought you came to study Bible. Well, I did. You got a degree in Bible. Yes, I did. You took all the courses to teach you how to put a sermon together. Yeah, I did. You took the outreach classes that we have and learned how to win people to Christ. You did a bus ministry here for 3 years. Yes, I did. And now you've changed your mind? That doesn't make sense. And he said, well... And he went on to explain about his newfound fortune, having gotten this very productive, very financially enabling position at the steel mill. And so he got up and walked out, left the slip on the paper, on the table. He wasn't interested. And so he and his little new bride were then, over the next few weeks, offered several opportunities. But he wasn't interested. And then his wife got pregnant. And she had the baby, but there were all kinds of complications. And the baby did not make it. And Dr. Hiles said, I went in to preach the funeral. He said the place was almost full. I mean, there were people everywhere. He said, really? I said, really? He said, oh, yeah. All the students were there, and this boy was popular. He was, you know, everybody knew him. And so there were a lot of people in that service. And Dr. Howe said, I preached the sermon. And when I finished preaching, I said, let's bow our heads for prayer. And he said, I began to pray, and I heard commotion. And so I looked over, and it was that man whose baby had just passed. And that man walked over to that little tiny white casket and reached out and grabbed that little tiny infant, turned around to the church, held that baby up in the air, and looked into heaven and screamed, I can do it now. I can do it now. And he laid the baby back, and he walked back and sat in his chair. He could do the will of God after the Lord had to get his attention. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen to any of you, but what I am saying is, don't rebel against God. You will rue the day that you decide to do what you want to do instead of what God wants you to do. Let's pray. Let's pray together. I implore every person listening on the internet, every person that's listening on Facebook or any of the other avenues where you can listen to our church service. And I implore you tonight, don't rebel against God. If you're unsaved, you say, well, if I'm not saved, how can I rebel against God? I'll tell you how. By saying no. You see, God is not willing, there's the word, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So in other words, it's God's will for you to be saved. And if you are already saved, I'm begging you, don't rebel against God's will for your life. I hope with all my heart that we'll all examine ourselves and just make up our mind, I'm going to do what God wills for my life. Father in heaven, I pray that you will take this message tonight and speak to our hearts. And Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will do His work, draw us, convict us, and Father, may we just surrender and yield to You. We are so grateful that we have a wonderful, forgiving, sweet, loving God. But Father, we also understand just how much You despise rebellion. And I pray that You will help us to search our hearts tonight, that we will not rebel against You. So bless the invitation. And Father, may our hearts be surrendered to You. If there's anybody who is not saved in this building or listening, Father, I pray that You will draw them to Yourself tonight. May they trust the Lord as their personal Savior tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it.